Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here, and it's a blessing to be with you this morning here in our beautiful sanctuary as we gather for a time of prayer, scripture, and meditation together. Once again, I want to thank you for being with us as we continue and put the finishing touches on our sermon series, Reunited and Reignited. Our senior pastor, Dee Roberts, has a powerful message as we wrap up Matthew 28, the Great Commission. So I hope that you are looking forward to that as much as I am. It's going to be a wonderful time together this morning. Speaking of reunited and reignited, we are starting to come back together as a church body. If you haven't had a chance to see it, look on our Facebook or YouTube page from a video from Wednesday. It's an update from Dee Dee and from our lay leader, Clark Cogbill, as to how the church is progressing back towards in-person worship. And in fact, this last Sunday, 1 week ago, we had our first in-person gathering back at the church since the time of quarantine began. Our warehouse student ministries reconvened on the South Lawn outside for a night of fun, for a night of Bible study, and a night of very, very intense kickball. Please enjoy this video. Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the power and presence of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in our lives, who goes with us wherever we go, and who lodges with us wherever we lodge. Oh Jesus, we pray for your presence with us in these days of uncertainty and doubt. Watch over us. Let us not become weary or afraid or doubting, but help us to continue to believe in you in such a way that we see witnessing to your love, that we understand teaching others about the faith, that we seek to grow in our own commitment with you, and above all, we want to witness. Witness to how you change our lives, how living with you makes a difference every day, and how we believe that you've called us to be difference makers in this community and into the world. So today we pray for those who are ill. We ask that our prayers would release into the world your healing power, and those who are ill might be healed. We pray for the lost, that they might find direction through the power of your word and through our presence in the world around them. We pray for those who mourn. Oh God, especially we pray for those who mourn in these days when hugs are impossible and so many lose loved ones apart from them due to the pandemic. Send comfort into their lives as only you can do. And use us to offer words of hope and comfort. And as always, O Lord, we pray for those who have no one else to pray for them, knowing that when we do so, we are also yielding ourselves and this community of faith to become a vessel that is shaped to receive them, to hold them, and to teach them of your love and your mercy and your grace. All of this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter. my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, when Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Hear now these words from Matthew's Gospel, which are probably becoming very familiar to you by now. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let us pray. O loving God, we do depend on the power of your presence with us through Jesus Christ our Lord and the Holy Spirit. Today we pray that you would open our ears to hear, our hearts to love, and our lives to obey this great commission that you have given to the church and to each of us as followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It all happened on a mountaintop. Jesus gathered the disciples before he ascended into heaven and gave them their marching orders. Go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Four commands within this great commission, a commission that has kept the church busy for two millennia and even more. It's kind of funny. It seems like in many ways we started off behind in this commission and we keep running to catch up. Think about it. At the time when Jesus offered the Great Commission to the disciples, there had been about 3,000 converted on the day of Pentecost, but most likely those who gathered on the mountain numbered 120 or less. So, 3,120 people have now received a commission to transform the world, to make disciples of everyone until every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a force that is smaller than the size of one Roman legion. If it weren't for the fact that Jesus is the one giving the Great Commission, it might be funny, a really bad cosmic joke. 3,120 people to save the world. Yet that is exactly what Jesus said. Rising up to his full authority over heaven and earth, he commissioned his followers to go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. But that is not all he said. He also assured that he would be with them wherever they went to the end of time. He would be their source of inspiration. He would be the center of their message. He would be their traveling companion. He would be the one who would go with them wherever they went in his name. And the implication is that because Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, is present with them, they cannot fail. I was struck this week as our nation buried a giant of the faith. John Robert Lewis began preaching to chickens when he was a little boy. But his life as a disciple maker would go a less than traditional route. John Lewis was led by God and the church into freedom fighting. His evangelism occurred less with words and more with actions as he fought for justice in this great nation. His body bore the wounds of his convictions, and he was laid to rest and was remembered for the sermon his life preached of love and community, equality and peace. He was never far from the church, but his mission field spanned the Edmund Pettus Bridge all the way to the capital of the United States of America, where he remained until just a few weeks ago. John Lewis never stopped preaching, nor did he ever give up, because he believed in the lordship of Jesus over heaven and earth. He believed even as his family mourned him, and a new generation of freedom fighters picked up his mantle to fight on. You see, disciple making is not for the faint of heart, nor can it ever be separated from the culture or context of the mission field. Every one of those original 12 disciples, except John, died martyrs' deaths. Peter began the church at Antioch, but he was eventually arrested for preaching the gospel and taken to Rome, and legend says crucified upside down. Andrew went to Greece and was executed in the shape of a cross. Thomas went to India, where it is said that he converted a doubting king and thereby began the church there. Matthew traveled to Ethiopia. Other disciples went to Armenia, North Africa, Lebanon. All of them faced hardship. The hardship of being foreigners in a foreign land, not speaking the language, having to preach the gospel in ways that were different from the culture in which they had grown up. But here's the thing. They went. They obeyed. They believed the good news of Jesus Christ was worth dying for. And they trusted him. They built a faith of trust that allowed them to go, to preach, to baptize, to teach, and even die for the name of their Lord and Savior. I can't help today, particularly, to think of John Lewis as being in that line of the apostles whose faith ran through his veins. Their blood giving life to him. Their faith and their witness showing him a way for sacrifice so that he could and did do what God called him to do. So, my friends, the obvious question for us is, through the power and presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, what is God calling us to do? How are we going to witness to the life-giving Christ in the midst of this death-dealing pandemic? We can stand before our peers, and we can speak of a community in which everyone gathers equally before the altar, because we are all sinners in need of God's forgiving grace. We can preach and live as brothers and sisters in spite of a message, a pervasive message within our culture today of division and hate. You and I can witness through the ministries of Asbury that every life matters, and that the weakest among us deserves the best care. And we can decide not to wait for the building to reopen to act like the church. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is with us, no less today than long ago on the top of that mountain. So today, we're going to gather later this evening here on our hill, on our mountaintop, so to speak, to celebrate the presence of our Lord through Holy Communion. Through that meal in which we receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, we will receive inspiration and strength and hope for the mission that Jesus has given us. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach. We'd like to think this way, but it isn't any harder today than it was 2,000 years ago. It isn't any more dangerous today than it was on that bloody Sunday in 1965. And it isn't any less urgent today than at any other time in history. But we have to believe and trust and be courageous enough to step out in faith and make disciples. Now, I know, and I join you in longing to get back into our building. In fact, I pray every day that that time might be shortened and shortened and shortened. But as beautiful as this facility is, we have a better story to tell than simply one tied to this building. The better story is how God changed your life through Jesus Christ. The better story is about the people who inspired you throughout your life and prayed for you until finally that day came when your life was changed by grace. The better story is the day that you met a man or a woman or a child who needed to hear the good news that they were indeed children of God. And so you told them, or you showed them their value and their worth. And you connected that to the wonderful story of Jesus the Christ. And the best story of all is that they went and told someone else. Go, make, baptize, teach. As much as we love this building, as much as we use this facility for ministry and mission, we don't have to wait for it to open up again before we fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus is with us. Jesus is in our homes. Jesus is out in the community. Jesus goes with us wherever we go, and we can make disciples wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, and with the people that God puts in our path. You see, it's about telling the story. And as John Wesley said, another one who stepped out and lived the Great Commission, the world is our parish. And Jesus has the whole world in his hands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate? the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
It's been a blessing to be with you again this week in worship. As Pastor Dee said during her message, if you have signed up for one of the two communion services tonight, 6 or 6:45, we look forward to seeing you here on the South Lawn at Asbury. That's a wrap on our four-week series, Reunited, Reignited. I hope that it has been a blessing to you, and I can't help but think in my mind to the day when we will be reunited here in in-person worship at Asbury. But until that time, don't rest, friends. Go and make disciples. Next week, we're excited to start a brand new sermon series with you. We're calling it Primer and Purpose. And we are going to look at the Christian virtues that Paul speaks about in the book of Philippians. It will be 4 weeks of great discovery in that time together with us. Lastly, friends, take a moment and refresh your coffee. Get your Bible and find a cozy place to sit. At 11 o'clock, we are going to continue with our virtual Bible study of the book of Revelation. This week, we're going to look at chapters 4 through 7. So I look forward to being with you during that time. Now receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you. And may peace be your way in the world. God bless you. Go in peace. Amen.
Who are we that you would be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? Like him just straining from Such a tiny